Well, hello everyone. Something a bit different this evening. It's Father's Day, been out with the family. And now, something for fathers everywhere, a bit of talk of cigars, one of my favourite topics. As a lot of you will know, I am very much into my Cuban cigars. And a few people once in a while ask me, you know, why don't you make a video of your top 10 or your favourite Cubans, etc. And so I thought I'd share with you some of my favourites. I've got them all lined up on the desk here. You'll see some boxes and cabinets there, dress boxes and cabinets of various sizes. If you're ever buying from Cuba, by the way, there's a couple of things there to look out for to know that you're getting genuine Cubans. I can very quickly show you. This is a box of Juan Lopez cabinet, Seleccione one. It will always have this there, says that it's from Cuba. We'll have this this stamp on it, guaranteed stamp thing. And then on the bottom, it will have, this is the most important thing, a box code and a date telling you which factory, specifically in Cuba, it was made in and when. What month and year. So those are all the things you can look for. And then if you're really not sure, you can always just scan it at the Havana website. You put in that barcode, and if it's the genuine article, it will come up and tell you exactly which box it was. Anyway, this is not a video about how to spot fakes, although if you buy Cuban cigars for long enough, try off enough websites, you're bound to come across one. I definitely had three once. They were Magnum 46s, and it was just so obvious that you know, the band wasn't quite right, the colour was off, various other things, you know, just didn't look right. I could tell straight away. I got them refunded. Anyway, let us make a start. So all Cuban cigars are made essentially by the same company, although as you'll see, there's lots of different brands here, most of which come from the pre-revolution days before Fidel Castro's communist revolution in Cuba. But then they nationalized all of the cigar factories, all of the companies, and now they're all managed by a company called Habanos S.A. And they maintain 27 different brands. And I mean, the extent to which these brands are truly separate companies and to which it's all just one big company is something that people can debate over. But the individual markers, as they're called, the individual brands, have maintained their old character, or something of their distinct character. So you can definitely tell, for example, if you have a Partagas or a Bolivar or a Hoyo, they all have their distinct flavor profiles, which I'll talk about more in a second. Now, under Habanos S.A., if we're talking premium cigars, which all of these are handmade premium cigars, there are 27 brands, okay? And of those brands, there are six which I basically never touch. Those six are the two most expensive ones, Cohiba, which is the most famous, the flagship. I'm just not going to pay for a Cohiba. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I've had a few, obviously, in my time. But when you're talking, you know, upwards of 300 quid for one cigar, or, you know, for a single Robusto now, it's over £100 for just for a single stick. There's just no way I'm going to be forking out for Cohiba, as you can forget that. So, you know, the Chinese can have them, as far as I'm concerned. And the other brand, which is, again, for the same reason, Trinidad, wildly overpriced. I've had a couple. I mean, they're decent. They're nice. They're kind of interesting, distinct, almost coconutty flavor profile to Trinidad. But again, I am not paying, you know, upwards of £90, £100 for a single stick. No way. So Trinidad and Cohiba are out. I do not smoke any of those. You'll see I have no boxes of any of them. And the other brands that I won't touch, one is Cuaba, which is known for its Figurado, its pyramids. Now, I'm not a huge pyramid guy in the first place, but the reason I won't touch Cuaba basically is that they have such an awful reputation with the people whose opinions I trust, the connoisseurs and so on. You know, but enough people have said like Cuaba is just awful. You might as well smoke, you know, cardboard or something. People have said that people don't like Cuabas, so I'm just not going to touch them. So those are three brands I don't touch. The other three brands I don't touch are the cheap ones, Jose L, Piedra, one of the other ones, because they tend to have short filler wrapper. What are the other two called? Vugueros or something like that. And there's another one, which name escapes me now. But there's three kind of, they call them volume brands under Habanos SA, and I don't partake of those. So that leaves us with, by my calculations, with 21 brands, of which I have most here, though not all. Now the way Habanos categorize their various different brands, not all brands are created equal, and they have six global brands which I've grouped together over here, which basically are sold in every market. They're the top selling cigars. They're the ones that they make the most out of. They're the most famous ones. And obviously Cohiba is one of those six. H. Upman, Monte Cristo, Hoyo de Monterrey, Partagas, and Romeo and Julieta. Now the chances are, if you've heard of any Cuban cigar brands, it'll be one of those six. And if you pick up a cigar somewhere, let's say you're in a hotel or an airport, tax-free lobby type place or a bar or something, chances are it'll be one of those six that gets pulled out, with, I would say, probably the most common being the Monte Cristo, followed by the Romeo and Julieta. Although I believe Partagas Syria D4 here is one of the world's best-selling cigars as well, if not the best-selling, although I have not seen sales figures recently. So there are six global brands, of which I only bother with five, because Cohiba is, I mean, let's just put it a different way. I am not a multimillionaire to be buying Cohibas, so I just don't bother with the brand. People tell me it's great and all the rest of it, but like I said, I can leave it to the Chinese. Then there are another set of brands that they call value brands, which are five brands that do have quite a few different releases. I should have said, by the way, that the global brands here, they also have the most different number of individual cigars. So you can see here, I mean, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different Upmans I've got there. And that's not even half of the Upman range. That there are lots and lots of different Upmans and Monte Cristos and Hoyos and all the rest of it. Whereas all of the other markers, brands, tend to have fewer individual products sold. Okay, but this value category here, which is Bolivar, Ramon Jalones, Punch, Quai d'Orsay, and the fifth one is Trinidad. Like I said, I don't buy Trinidad either for the same reason as Cuba, just too expensive. Those five brands, they also get quite a few like limited releases and special sticks, and they have a larger portfolio than the rest, which tend to, for reasons that is somewhat baffling, but you know, I'm guessing they've got their reasons. Habanos like to keep all of the other brands, of which there are, let's have a look. You take Cohiba out, what is it? 6 and 5 is 11. Plus Cuaba, That's 12. So of the 27, plus the three cheapies, that's 15. So what's that? My maths is escaping me. 15 minus 3. So 12. So there are 12 other brands, of which some of the more famous ones, Paul Oranga, Juan Lopez, Diplomaticos, quite a famous individual cigar, although it's the only one they make now, the number two, Diplomaticos, Rafael Gonzalez, Fonseca. This is El Rey Del Mundo, St. Louis Rey, Sancho Panza, and there are a few others as well. There's La Gloria Cubana. I don't have any of those here. And there's a couple of others as well. La Flor de Cano, something like that. And there's bound to be one or two others there as well. Okay. Now, I don't have all of my... This just happens to be the cigars that I have in my collection right now. I've pulled out, like most of those boxes are full, but I've pulled out individual sticks so I can share with you what some of my favorites are. And also, I think more importantly, when I would smoke, what situations I'd smoke one of these in, and when in the day and things like that. Okay. So I'll just start here that my favorite brand is Upman. I am an Upman fanboy. There's something about the whole profile I love. Now, my favorite, I don't actually have any of my favorite Upman cigars here, which are the Connoisseur range. I like the Connoisseur 1. In fact, I had a whole box here of 25, and as a testament to how much I like them, they've all gone. I smoked all 25 of them earlier this year or last year. So the Connoisseur 1 and the Connoisseur A, knockout sticks. This is probably this Sir Winston, very famous cigar, the Upman Sir Winston, this long one here. This is probably the best cigar I ever smoked, the Upman Sir Winston. I've only got this one. I don't have a whole box of those because they are pretty expensive. But the thing is, you'll notice that a lot of the cigars I have aren't big ones like this. Some people, they like the Churchills, the Sir Winston, the Romeo and Juliet, the Churchill, the Partagas Lucy's, the Hoyo Double Corona, Double Coronas. They like the big sticks. I find that I seldom have time to sit down and smoke one of these because they'll take the best part of 3 hours. So they're very much a special occasion sort of cigar. And I don't buy boxes of those. I at the moment, it really depends on the weather. When it's raining, you might go weeks without being able to smoke anything. Especially in this country. So there tends to be a smoking season, a cigar season. And we're meant to be, it's June now. It rained all day yesterday. But since I've got my parasol here, my big umbrella, I can actually, even if it's rainy and windy, I can still go out there and have a couple. I don't smoke inside at all. Since about April, May, I've been, typically I'll have one in the morning, one in the evening, or if I'm lucky, I can have one in the morning, one kind of mid-afternoon, and then one in the evening, so sometimes three. Really depends on how my day is panning out. Other days, there'll be none at all, some days it will be two. It really depends on how it goes. So, anyway... What do I like about the Upman as a marker in general? The big flavour I get from Upman would be shortbread. It's got a lot of shortbread in there. It's got this kind of toasted tobacco note I really like. It's kind of light medium. Sometimes it creeps up to medium full, depending on the stick. But strong, nice, pleasant flavors. Get a bit of a, I don't know, like tea. But I would say shortbread is the dominant note with bake. You know what they call baked goods, sweet spices sometimes. And I don't know, I just find that whatever time of day it is, morning, noon, or indeed night, Upman will have something. And I will get on to specific sticks for the morning and so on soon. Like I say, it's not here, but the Connoisseur One is an extremely good kind of everyday smoke, in my opinion. I'll just give a special mention to this one here, which is the Majestic. I think that's an underrated, cheaper stick. And people often ask me, what's a good first time if you've never smoked before type thing. I would say that one of these two here, this very short Upman Half Corona or the Majestic, would be a good, decent first time if you've never smoked a Cuban cigar before. I would leave the Upman 46 for when you're a bit more experienced. 54 is milder, I would say. Okay, so yeah, there are the Upmans from the Monte Cristo range. I mean, Monte Cristo has got a few like sub lines. There's the Open series, which is just crap, basically, good golf cigars. So I don't touch the Open Eagle and all that rubbish. I like the classic Monte Cristo line, Monte Cristo 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The 1 is the Lonsdale. The 2 is this pyramid here. The 3 is a Corona, which is this size but a bit longer here, probably down to there. The 4, the classic Petite Corona. And the 5 is the little, what is it? What do they call it? Perla, or it's a smaller one. I tend to go with other short cigars over the 5. My favorite of them are the 3, which I don't have any of. But I need to get some Monte Cristo 3s. The 4, just an all-time classic cigar, and the 2. And in fact, these two cigars, the 2 and the 4, are world famous dominant flavors of Monte Cristo. It's coffee, it's chocolate, kind of coffee, cream, chocolate in that ballpark. You know what you're getting with a Monte Cristo. I mean, I sometimes think of it almost like a kind of as the this denigrates it too much, but it's like a almost like a kind of McDonald's of the Cuban world. You know what you're getting with a Monte Cristo, and it's always the same: chocolate, bit of cream, bit of coffee. But they don't tend to miss. These 4s, I will say, took a while to come good. I had them for about 6 months. I don't know, they had like ammonia or acrid. They had that travel sickness for a long time that cigars get. But they came good, and then it was just classic Monte 4. I don't need to say anything else, really. I actually like the number 3 a good bit. But again, they take a bit longer, that Corona's like. So with a Monte Cristo 4, you're talking 40 minutes, 60 minutes, something like that. With a 3, it's over an hour without doubt. Okay, so yeah. Then the Hoyo. Now, I don't have any here because I smoked them all. The Epicure 2 is the all-time classic. I've got a few Epicure Especials that are just kind of hanging out. Those tend to be my favorite Hoyos, the Epi 2 and the Especial. For me, the Epicure 2 is just a lovely, light, complex, sophisticated cigar. The Especial, I think, has got a bit more chocolate in there, as well as there's some sweet spice and some interesting things going on as well. But I get a lot of chocolate in the Hoyo Especial. Yeah, again, you'd need a decent chunk of tram. I mean, look at the size of it. You'd need more time for that, which is probably why they're hanging around, because they don't always have that much time. Yeah, I mean, I'll just say a little bit about Hoyo. Like a lot of people, I think, when I first got into Cubans, the Epic Hewer 2 was my go-to. It's like everybody's starter stick was the Epic Hewer 2, and mine was also the Epic Hewer 2. So I have a soft spot for it for that. But I tend to gravitate towards the Upmans these days if I'm fancying something in that kind of medium light ballpark. I tend to go with other options, which is not to say that Hoyo are bad in any single way. Quality tobacco, you know, always interesting. But I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm an Upman fan. Partagas is kind of main notes, I would say, is sourdough, leather, maybe kind of say like pepper, paprika, even some sweetness, but also some savory spice possibly as well. And this one here, the D4 is an all-time classic. It's again like a default. If you can't really figure out what you want, maybe a D4. I often just find myself grabbing one of those. It's a Robusto, very good kind of workaday, everyday cigar is the D4. This is a short, which I'll come back to in a second when I talk about shorter smokes and morning smokes and things like that. This is the Partagas Aristocrat, which is a super underrated, cheaper smoke, similar in size and price to the Majestic. I love the Partagas Aristocrat. It's got a kind of, doesn't really taste like a D4. It tastes, I mean, the flavor profile I would give to it is honey nut cornflakes. You know, in fact, I've got, you know, these things here. You know, my daughter likes to eat these crunchy nut cornflakes, and for me, there's something of that sweet honey note in the Aristocrat. It's not gonna, you know, it's not like a sophisticated cigar. It's not going to win any prizes or anything like that. But for a good, reasonably priced, everyday stick, you want something like the Aristocrat. Because it fulfills a function, right? So say, you know, when you get into cigars, you get into the process of aging. See, all of these boxes here, some of them I intend to keep for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, I'm going to smoke them, but ideally you want to have enough stock that things get left, and that in 4 years' time, maybe I end up with a full box, let's say, of those Paul Oranga Petit Coronas that you can see, the 50 cab there, and I'll have lots of them left, and, you know, they should be coming into age then. So when you're aging like that, you want to have options in your locker, in your collection, where you don't ever feel like, oh, I shouldn't really touch these. And for me, the Aristocrat fills that role, much like the Majestic does. Now, I'm not going to be aging the Aristocrat. I just want it, you know, I just want something to smoke now. And it means if I'm smoking that, it means I'm not touching that stock or that stock or that stock. So it fills a role. It does a job. Yeah, I often find myself grabbing an Aristocrat. I really do like it. Different profile from the D4, though. This is not like a kind of, you know, you get in the same Partagas blend, only smaller. It's not like that. For the Romeo and Julietta, I would say main flavour profile is, I mean, if they're on, something like a Turkish Delight, Fry's Turkish Delight, ever had one of those? I tend not to be like a big Romeo guy, which I think is kind of fairly common, actually, among kind of people who know their Cubans and things. They don't tend to go for the Romeos much. Their best cigar is probably the Big Churchill. And like I said, I don't smoke Churchills very often. Obviously, I've had a few. And, you know, they've been nice, you know, interesting. Yeah, this one is, I think, another Cheap and Cheerful, like the Aristocrat and the Majestic. It's called the Mille Fleurs. I haven't actually had one of these yet. They're still in that travel sickness period. They arrived, you know, maybe a month ago or something like that. Typically, they say you should leave them 90 days before trying one. I often cheat, have one straight out of the box, then wait 90 days, then have another one, then a couple of months later try another one like that. But with these, I didn't even do the one. I don't think I even tried the one, so yes. Yeah, Romeo is not, I'll be honest, not my favourite brand. So, yes. Bolivar is a brand I really like a lot. It's known for its boldness, for its strength. I actually think the talk about its strength, that is nicotine strength, is a little bit overdone. Like maybe they used to be stronger and now they're not so much. Or maybe, you know, with the Nicaraguans on the market, people are used to, you know, something that really kind of punches you in the face type thing. But I would say that in the Cuban range, Bolivar is distinct for maybe the intensity of its flavour, something like that. Less the nic kick. I've never really got much of the old nicotine for strength from any of these. I'm not really into cigars for that either. I mean, occasionally, you know, if I've been smoking a bit quickly or something, I may get that kind of head feeling that you get sometimes. But it's not anything I'm interested in at all or look for. But Bolivar has got unique flavor profile, I would say. This stick here, the Bellicosos Finos, or the BBF, as it's known, I would say is one of the best Cuban cigars on the market. Just tremendous. Not my favorite shape. You know, you'll notice it's a it's a pyramid. Well, it's a Campanas is the specific kind of Vitola size. But, you know, I tend not to like the Figurados much. But despite that, I found a way of actually. So one of the things I got recently was a V-cutter. And I have found that if you snip it twice with a straight cut and then put a V-cut on it, it opens it up a bit. They can be a bit tight otherwise, which is my only complaint about the Bellicosos Finos. Really interesting cigar because it gives you something that very unusual in cigars, which is a kind of malt, kind of like a stout or even a Guinness note in there, mixed with moments where you're getting kind of like, you know, there's a sweet core in there as well. So you get this weird interplay between sweetness and this more kind of bitter or Guinness note and maltiness. The other thing about Bolivar is that, you know, there has, you know, leather, earth, and an absolute metric shit ton of what I would call Cuban twang, which is something I love. Now, all of these cigars, all of them, every single one, has got some Cuban twang, something you can't really get from non-Cubans or new world cigars. And it's It's hard to know how to explain what the Cuban twang is, but the way I would describe it, you ever have like a very strong cheese flavored crisp, something like a what's it, say, right? And you've had it, you've eaten it, and you're left with that really kind of Moorish strong aftertaste of the cheesy what's it afterwards. There's something in the back of your throat kind of pulling you. Oh, you want another what's it? You want something. The Cuban twang is a bit like that. It's a bit like that feeling. It hits you in the back of the throat, something going on. And to me, I love it when you get kind of lashings of Cuban twang. A little bit of salt in there as well. Now, one thing I would say about Bolivar, typically it's not a morning, it's an after dinner, evening smoke most of the time. This one, definitely. This is the Royal Corona. I don't like this one as much. For Robustos, I have other choices, which I'll tell you about later. You know, I'll go for a Partagas D4, I would say, probably over this. And I've got other Robustos I like as well. Connoisseur 1 is a Hermoso 4, but in my mind, they're kind of interchangeable sizes. This one, the Bolivar Petite Corona, is a fantastic, in the Petite Corona size, it's a fantastic smoke. Although the flavor profile is different from the BFF. I don't really get the Guinness malt thing in this. It's sweeter. I get the sweet notes and I get the leather and the earth and all the other typical Bolivar stuff. But I don't get the malt. I only get that in the BBF, which is an all-time classic. And when I do my top 10 later, there's a good chance this will be, you know, well, it'll be in the top 5 for sure. Okay, so now we have Ramon Alonez. Now, Ramon Alonez has got one absolute knockout classic cigar. In fact, it's got two. But this one here, the Ramon Alonez specially selected, the RAS, is an all-time classic. It's so interesting, complex, strong, bold flavors, lots going on. There's a kind of a core of stewed fruit, I would say. Kind of a sweet stewed fruit core. But there's other things happening as well. I had one a while back with my brother, and it was like there was kind of dancing on my tongue going on. So many different things, like maybe like spices, and it's just all sorts of interesting stuff in the RAS. One of my favorite Robustos, and together with the D4 and a couple of others, one of my kind of, you know, workhouse sticks. This is the Ramon Alonez Small Club Corona. Fantastic short smoke, which I'll talk more about when I talk about sticks for certain occasions or moments in the day. Then we've got Punch. Now, Punch is another marker I have not got a huge amount of experience in. I've got some experience with it. There's the Punch, their famous one. And this is a Punch 48, which I think is some sort of, it's a La Casa del Habano exclusive, you know. It's got that special, you know, you can't get those unless it's from, you know, an exclusive Cuban trader. For me, Punch is synonymous with peanut. And I like peanuts. Who doesn't like nuts, right? Everybody likes nuts. Well, not everybody, but I like nuts. Lots of people like nuts, right? But for a cigar, I have to be in the right sort of mood to want it. So for me, Punch is something that hits a little bit different, as the kids say. And so it's not, I mean, I like them. They can be a bit, if they're not on, they can be woody. I hear people talk about pencil shavings, like you don't want that. But when they're on, punch should give you like a peanut bomb, ideally. And I find that is true of the punch punch, and it's true of this 48 as well. So I've got, and I like them enough to buy a little 10 box there. See, that's a little 10 varnish box that I got of these. I know there are some people who really like punch as a marker. For me, they're just kind of a little bit unusual punch. I remember back in the day I had one I really didn't like called the Punch Coronation. It was like it came in a tube. I bought it at a petrol station or something. That was rank. That was terrible. And that put me off punch for a number of years. But since I tried them again, peanuts is the big thing I would say. Don't know about one of my favourites, but when I'm in the mood, punch can play a role. A peanutty role, if you want. Next marker is a brand I really like, actually. It was developed for the French market called, it's called Quai d'Orsay. And they've got these three, I'll show you a close-up here. They've got the number 50, the number 52, and the number 54. You can see in the ring gauge, that's a 50 ring gauge. That's a 52. This is the 54. And I really like the Quai d'Orsay. They have a more kind of dessert flavors. They're the only cigars that I know of that veer towards creme brulee, custard. I mean, the last one of these I smoked, which was again with my brother, and he described it as like working through a bread and butter pudding, where you're going, you know, the very crusty bit, and then you get to the custody middle, and then you, it was, and that was a perfect description. Bread and butter pudding. I really like these ones, the number 50s. They're a shorter, they're a petite Robusto, so less shorter than a normal Robusto, but these are... All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. It is now actually several hours later. Turns out that I'd run out of memory on my iPhone due to the size of the video, which then led me to, well, how the hell am I going to, you know, free up more space? And for the first time ever, I had to transfer all of my photos and videos and things from my iPhone. We were talking about like 5,000 pictures going back 4 or 5 years, including every single picture ever that I've taken of my daughter, you know, to a computer. And then I was like, well, how do I delete them all off my iPhone now? I had to download a special app just to delete them all at once. You know, oh, it was just, oh, what a nightmare. Anyway, it's now nighttime. I started this in the early evening. It is now the nighttime. I've had to clear up all the boxes back into storage because, you know, didn't want them losing their humidity and all of that. Anyway, where was I? But anyway, this phone's like new again now. Oh, now I've got rid of all that data. Anyway, the Quai d'Orsay 50 is a fantastic shorter smoke. Like I said, creme brulee, custard, you know, bread and butter pudding type. It's more of a kind of dessert stick. I think it's good at kind of afternoon, midday smoke. You know, sometime between 12 and 6, say, if you can ever smoke at that time. So, yeah, Quai d'Orsay is a brand I really appreciate. They don't do a bad cigar. I like all of these, the 50, the 52, and the 54. If I had to pick, I think the 50 is the best. But these 54s are pretty good as well. Anyway, then this is the Paul Arenga Petite Corona, one of the absolute best Cuban cigars on the market. Absolute caramel bomb, salted caramel. Now, they say that they need more age on them. I actually found that the Paul Arenga right out of the box was delivering that caramel personally. And this was a kind of summer 2023 box, smoking now. So, you know, anyway, Paul Oranga, fantastic. As you saw, I got a 50 cab of those that I'm aging at the moment, but I think they're great from the off. Then we've got, what's this here? This is Juan Lopez Selección number two. Jaffa cake, as I always, the profile is, you know, it's kind of citrus orange, dark chocolate, a bit of a stronger cigar, typically. The, you know, there's a bit of earth and leather in there as well. But I would say Jaffa cake, and that's another one of my workhouse Robustos. I'll talk more about that in a second. Here is its kind of longer, skinnier cousin, brother, you could say, the Selección number one, the JL one. Actually, this is the one, this is the two. This is a recent acquisition. The JL one for me is more floral, and it's got a bit more of that kind of, it's a lighter, in my opinion, than the Juan Lopez 2. I think it's a different blend, personally. And I could be wrong about that, but it tastes very different. I get less citrus, less of that kind of chocolate, no Jaffa cake, really. I get more, like I said, there's more floral qualities in there. I even got a bit of barbecue in the one I smoked the other day. But I'm going to give this more time. It needs more time down, really, because that was right out of the box. They're a great... I think Juan Lopez, unless I'm mistaken, there could be a third stick, but I'm pretty sure that the whole market is just these two sticks now. But what a great 1-2 punch the Juan Lopez gives. Then we've got the Diplomaticos, kind of unique, really. I even get like a few like kind of more savory, like pepper notes in the Diplomaticos, as well as baked goods and sourdough and all that sort of stuff. But this particular one is from a box that I haven't been able to touch yet, because the code on the box was Jan 24. It is currently June 24. Still too young, really, too young to touch. This is a Rafael Gonzalez Corona de Lonsdale. Confusingly, neither a Corona nor a Lonsdale. In fact, is it a Robusto? Let's have a look. I think it's a Robusto, yeah. Oh, it's a Robusto size. What's the ring gauge on that? It's a Robusto. I think, I'm not sure if it's a regular production, this, or a new regular production, or it could be, it doesn't have a special band, so it looks like a regular production. Now, the ones I've had of these so far have been a whole lot of nothing, so I'm not going to, I'm just going to give them more time down, but some people have said they've enjoyed these. This cigar here is the Fonseca Cossacos, or Cossacos. Fonseca, famous for this, I say famous. I don't know how many people know about them, but their kind of unique selling point is that they have this kind of poncy white kind of paper around them. I think the more well-known Fonseca cigar is the number one, which is a Lonsdale, same size as the Monte Cristo one. This is a Cossacos, but this has become one of my absolute favorite cigars. I had one with my brother. When my brother came down, we did a lot. I kind of gave him, we smoked the same cigar stick each, and we kind of reviewed lots. We had one of these in the morning, and it is absolutely amazing, this Fonseca. It's a lighter smoke, but if you smoke it first thing, and I would see even say pre-breakfast, you know, before you've eaten anything, with a morning coffee or a cup of tea or something like that, the Fonseca, this one, gives you kind of marshmallow light, you know, kind of a lighter, almost like candy floss, light sweetness. And then it's got like brilliant toasted tobacco, sweet tea. It's just such a gorgeous, elegant, light morning smoke, the Fonseca Costa Coast. That last one I had with my brother, I give a straight 95 to. It was just fantastic. And I think he actually said he liked it so much he was going to buy a box of them himself. Then we've got, what's this? The El Rey del Mundo, the Schwa Supreme. I think this is also a Robusto. Is it a Robusto? Or maybe it's a... No, I think it's a Hermoso number 4. Same size as a Connie one. Yeah, Schwa Supreme is a good, solid, you know, sweet kind of chocolate. I've noticed a lot of older cigar guys are really into El Rey del Mundo. Never really kind of knocked my socks off, to be honest. But, you know, in the same way that I treat the Juan Lopez 2 or the Party 4 as a kind of go-to workhouse, a lot of people love the Schwa Supreme for that. This is Saint Louis Ray. I think it's called Regios, this particular stick. I don't have a lot of experience with Saint Louis Ray, so I'm not going to say too much more about it. But it was another marker, so I got it out for this. And then we have the Sancho Panza Bellicosos. As you can see, it's the same. It's another Campanas, same size as the Bolivar, same size as the Bolivar, look. And this is really different. It's a kind of, it's got kind of like salt, bit of, you know, plenty of Cuban twang, but salt. Some people have said brine and driftwood, and it, Sancho Panza is different. I'm telling you, it's different. It kind of salt, sea salt, just salt up the nose. Yeah, there's a few other things in there, but mainly it's a salt kick, which makes it kind of pretty unique in the lineup. Okay, now one of the things I'm going to do before going is I'm going to start, like, I'm going to rank some of my favorites for different situations. I'm going to give a number of kind of top fives or top tens. Okay, and I have, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my top five morning smokes, okay? Now, in the morning, you don't always have a lot of time. Maybe you need to go somewhere. Many of you will need to go to work. I have the kind of luxury or curse, you could say, of working from home. So, but oftentimes I need to take my daughter somewhere, or, you know, they'll be there. You've got stuff to do, right? So that limits your time. So sometimes in the morning, you don't have, you know, you won't have 2 hours or 3 hours to smoke a cigar. You may have half an hour, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, like that. So that means that in the morning, you're going to gravitate towards shorter smokes, and you're also going to gravitate towards lighter smokes. And the reason for that is that in the morning, before you've eaten anything, you have nothing, like your palate is at its cleanest for the day. You know, you get up, you brush your teeth, maybe you have a drink of water or something, or a cup of tea, and basically you've got nothing. You've got no residues of food or anything on your, you know, in your mouth, in your teeth, on your tongue or whatever. So that the first thing you taste in the morning will be, you'll get a lot of those more subtle notes in a lighter cigar better. If you have that same cigar after lunch or after your evening meal, after your supper or your dinner, you're going to get a whole lot of nothing from those lighter cigars. And that is why I would recommend, you know, it's a great time to smoke, watching the sun come up. You know, if you've got a garden, you know, with a cup of coffee, cup of tea, something like that. and a cigar is one of the glorious things I would say about being a man. the modern world may have many, many drawbacks, but one amazing luxury, priceless, I would say, is that cigar and a coffee or cigar and a tea first thing in the morning. So what are the best smokes first thing in the morning? I would say, without a doubt, the Upman Half Corona. Now, this is not purely morning smoke. You can have it. Many people have it as a capper, last thing at night. You can have it in the middle of the day. You'll notice it's only 3.5 inches long. And some would say that's plenty, eh? No, I'm only joking. 3.5 inches long. And I have never had a an Upman Half Corona that didn't deliver. It gives you the core DNA of Upman, that kind of shortbread, just Upman, toasted tobacco, just great, awesome Upman taste that from the get-go, from the first draw to the very end. And I often actually nub these. I don't nub very often. Often when I'm smoking a cigar, let's say I was smoking a cigar of this size, this punch here, I would I leave the band on. I'll take the band off when it reaches about here. I'll take both bands off there. And I would typically smoke, say, to about there, right? But with the with the Upman Half Corona, I'll go, really nub there. It's such a good cigar. So that is a go-to. They are so good that when I bought a box, I smoked so many of them that I immediately bought another one and another one. You know, it's like I had tons of Upman boxes. They were Upman Half Coronas. These are so good. They're versatile because if you fast, you can do it in half an hour. I take more like 40, 45 minutes if I'm smoking slow. You can easily do one of these in 25 minutes, half an hour, if you really chug on it, and it is, you could take it to a party. You could even take a few and hand them out because they're not that expensive. This would be a great gateway if you're trying to get someone into Cuban cigars. Oh, it's brilliant. You could imagine taking it to fishing or golf or something like that. If you're going to a wedding, let's say you're going to a wedding, you wouldn't want to, like, if you turn up at a wedding with something like that, you're going to be like 2 hours out. But if you go there, you could, half an hour and you're done. So you're not being like too antisocial either, because cigars take a long time most of the time, but this one does not. So the Upman Half Corona is an absolute cert for the morning list, okay? The next one for the morning, I would say, let me have a look here. This one, the Ramon Olones Small Club Corona. This, you can see it's a bit longer than the Half Corona, but it's also smaller in the ring gauge, and time wise probably about the same, maybe 10 minutes more for this. But this gives you a great hit of that core Ramon Olones, like the stewed fruits. There's a deep sweet note down the middle of this, but it's not so heavy that you couldn't have it first thing. And it's just a great kind of flavor bomb, that. So I would say, what else for the morning? Let me see. The Partagas shorts, same size as the Ramon Olones Small Club Corona. I think the technical name for it is the Minotaurs, Minotaurs, Minotaurs. I don't speak Spanish, so. But yeah, basically the exact same job, exact same function as the other two. Only this time, rather than the core Upman or the core Ramonlones, you're getting Partagas. And a lot of guys swear by this one. You get, you know, sourdough, some of that paprika, you know, flavor that you get from Partagas. You know, and again, these are blended or these are rolled basically so that every single moment is a knockout. A lot of the time, let's say you're smoking something like this, takes a while to get going, you know. You'll get like, you know, hay or barnyard or something up here. And then, you know, it really the cigars starts getting going down here somewhere, right? And then, you know, this is the sweet spot. And then, you know, maybe a bit more bitterness towards the end. So that would be the typical journey. Although not, a Hoyo is so smooth that you wouldn't get any bitterness at all. And I actually find them pretty good off the gaze. Maybe it's a bad example, but you know what I mean. You're not going to get that with these. You're not going to get any development. Obviously, it's all going to be the same. But from the get-go to the very end, you're going to get a knockout with all three of these cigars. So these are fantastic, these short smokes, especially for the morning, okay? Fourth one for the morning, I will say, is Fonseca, like I just said. This is, to me, this is a Cossacos, or Cossacos. A lot of people swear by the number one. That is a Lons. I mean, a Lonsdale is longer, like about down here somewhere. And frankly, I just don't have the time. Like I've been saying, you know, I don't go for the Churchills. I don't go for the longer cigars because I just don't have, you know, in my typical day, I don't have like 3 hours slack or two. I mean, I wouldn't take 3 hours for a Fonseca one, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have 2 hours in the morning there to spend smoking a Fonseca. I may have 1 hour though, especially if I make time for it. And of course, you know, do some emails or do a bit of work while you're smoking one of those as well. But, you know, just in my experience, I gravitate towards this sort of length cigar. And yeah, Fonseca, great in the morning. And let me just look for one more to make it a top five. What would I pick out of these? I'm going to say the K. Dorsey 50. It is also brilliant morning smoke, I would suggest. And I'm going to rank them. I'm going to kind of give a rank order for best morning smoke. So let's, I mean, the Fonseca's number one without doubt. Then I'd probably put the, I mean, in terms of what the best cigar is, it's obviously the K. Dorsey 50. And I would probably go in that order here. That's probably the right order. So number one for morning smokes is the Fonseca. Then the K. Dorsey 50. Upman Half Corona. Ramon Lones Small Club. And the Party Short. If I only had those five cigars to smoke in the morning for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. Okay? All right. So let us now do another top five. Let me put these back in place. And I'm going to say, what are my top five Cuban Robustos? Robustos. Now, for whatever reason, the Robusto has become the kind of top, it has become the kind of the default Vitola. It used to be the Corona, especially in Europe in the 70s, say. But ever since I've been smoking cigars, which is going on 8-9 years now, it has been the Robusto. And I think that's driven by the American market for good or for ill. But the Robusto's got a lot of things going for it. This is a size of a Robusto. It's got a good amount of girth there, the 50 ring gauge. And the size is about five inches, which makes it about an hour all in, hour and 10, 50 minutes if you really chug on it. And for most people, that is the perfect size. And the ring gauge gives you a bit of that extra complexity, which you may not get from some of the narrower ring gauges. Just on the ring gauge front, while I'm talking about this, in my experience, the narrower ring gauges, the Corona or Petite Corona, let's just take the Monte 4 as an example, or probably an even better example would be the Paul Arenga Petite Corona here. This will give you great flavor intensity. You see, it's a 42 ring gauge versus a 50 ring gauge, if you have a look. Now, that 42 ring gauge gives you a narrower and more intense hit of flavor, at least in my experience, okay? And they smoke a little bit hotter as well, typically. Although, if you know what you're doing, none of your cigars should smoke that hot, but they do smoke a little bit hotter. And what they trade up for that intensity of flavor is a little bit of complexity. That is, and again, this is just in my experience, in a Robusto or a bigger ring gauge cigar, there may be more going on, three or four different notes at once, you know, struggling to get out. Whereas in a 42 ring gauge, and again, this is just my experience, there'll be one or two notes that come through strongly and they're well defined and you know what they are. In Paul Arenga, it's a kind of salted caramel that punches you in the face, pretty much. Okay. And like I said, in the Monte 4, it's coffee and chocolate. Now, Robustos do have their kind of signature tastes and flavors as well, but there's maybe a bit more going on, or you may be thinking, well, there's something else happening in the background there. And I think it's just that extra tobacco that's in there that may give you that. That's not to say a Robusto is better than a Corona or a Petite Corona. If you ask me, it really depends on what mood you're in. But anyway, let's talk about the top five Robustos. Now, obviously, this one here, the Partagas D4 has to be there. The Juan Lopez number 2, Seleccione 2, the RAS, that is the Ramon Alonez, sorry, the Juan Lopez Seleccione number 2, JL2, the Ramon Alonez specially selected, the RAS, what other Robustos have to be mentioned? I don't have the Connoisseur one here. It's not a Robusto technically. Epicure 2, the Hoyo, I would put there. The Bolivar, I suppose. I mean, the Schwa Supreme, is that? It's technically a Hermoso 4, I believe. See, slightly longer, slightly thinner. I think Hermoso 4 is something like 48x5 or something like that. I can't remember that. So what are there? Just these three maybe? And the Epi 2 and the Connie 1, I would say. I mean, maybe the K Dorsey. All right, well, let's put the Bolivar there as well. That is a Robusto, although I don't, it's definitely going to go last for me. And let's put the K Dorsey there. Maybe we'll put the 54. How big is the 54? Pretty much a Robusto as well. Okay, so for me, my kind of go-to Robustos are these three here: the Brass, the Party D4, and the JL2. If I had to rank them, I would say the Brass is probably the top one. Then I typically find myself reaching for the JL2, Jaffa Cake, then the Party 4, which is always a good kind of default choice. Never really have a bad D4, but, you know, it's kind of like just very, very standard in my book. And then I think this, like I said, the bread and butter pudding, the interesting K Dorsey 54. I think the 50 is probably my favourite in that marker, but and then I put the Royal Corona, Royal whatever it's called, the Royal Robusto Bolivar, something like that. Yeah, those are pretty much the. I mean, there's the Coro, the Cohiba Robusto. I'm trying to think of other Robustos from Cuba. Pretty much the main ones. They do a lot of unusual kind of you see, like, they do this Magnum 46, right? The Magnum 46 is some form of Corona, I can't remember what it's called now, a Corona Gorda or something like that, where it's or Corona Extra, where it's 46 ring gauge, but you can see long, you know, more length on it, like that. In fact, is that the same size as the JL2? Is that right? Yes. I think it's called a Corona Gorda, that particular marker there. So the JL1, sorry. So the JL1 and the Magnum 46 are the same size. Now, in my mind, these are basically Robustos as well. But most people wouldn't think in that way. I there's also the Hermoso number 4, which is the Upman Connoisseur 1. That is another one of my go-to cigars that I would put in with these guys. But technically it's not Robusto. Anyway, let us make another list now. This is fun, isn't it? Hope you're enjoying this. It will mean absolutely nothing to those of you who watch this that aren't into cigars. Maybe you'll learn a thing or two, maybe you won't. And for those of you who are, you're probably kicking the screen saying, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's got terrible taste. Hopefully not. Okay, so the next Vitola I want to champion, really, because I love it, is the Petite Corona. So obviously there's the Monte Cristo 4, there's Paul Laranga, there's the Bolivar, there is, what else have we got? I'm going to, even though it's technically not one, I may grab the Majestic. I think the Majestic is something called a Crema, so technically a 40 ring gauge. It's a little bit longer lug. A little bit more length on it. Any more Petite Coronas here? It's very rustic looking. Partagas Aristocrat. But in terms of my favourite Petite Coronas, we've got, Romeo and Julieta have got like 20 million Petite Coronas. This is a Mille Fleurs, as it's known, which I think is the same. Are they Petite Coronas? I think they're 40 ring gauges, these ones. A little bit less. Anyway, in terms of my own kind of rankings of these, I would definitely say that the premier, the number one Cuban Petite Corona is this Paul Laranga Petite Corona here. Then I would put the Bolivar PC. Absolutely fantastic cigar, the Bolivar PC. And then the Monte 4, which is an all-time classic. You can never go wrong with it, really. And then in terms of what I genuinely find myself reaching for most, I love this Partagas Aristocrat. doesn't get a lot of love. It's one of the more underrated sticks, and I always champion it when I can. And then I'm going to put the Majestic. Although Ether Upman kind of cheap and cheerful type smokes are available, I don't know. There's the Regalias. You can get them in the tins. I prefer these. I think these are more kind of core Upman taste. So that's my top five Petite Coronas. If I had to pick, yeah. I mean, in terms of when you would smoke these, I typically go for these in the afternoon. All of them. In fact, I had a Monte Cristo number 4 earlier on today with a creamy coffee. Yeah, it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, there's something about these. It kind of hits the spot. Lunch, just after lunch, 2 p.m., 3 p.m., something like that. Great on the weekend if it's sunny, something like that. All brilliant smokes for those sorts of occasions. And what else have we got? What are the sorts of occasions? We've done mornings, we've done Robustos, we've done Petite Coronas. What else? I mean, we could do something on pyramids. We've got the famous Monte Cristo 2 Prestige Cigar, another Prestige Cigar, Diplomaticos 2. We've got Bolivar Bellicoso Finos, smaller, look, a little bit less length. Are they the same ring gauge, these guys? I think they're the same ring gauge, but on a Campanus, I think it's less length. We've got the Sancho Panza in this. Now, for example, there's an Upman number 2. Which I tend not to go for because I think Upman is best expressed in the connoisseur line. Unfortunately, I don't have any here to show you, but, you know, and, you know, different sides of the Upman line come in the Magnum, Magnum 46 and Magnum 54. The Sir Winston is kind of like the everything you'd ever want from an Upman is in this cigar. But then different sides of it come out in different cigars. And for me, I just don't like, you know, for what you're paying for and for what you get and so on, I'm not sure why you'd go for an Upman number 2 over some of those other sticks, given how they're priced. And, I tend, if there's an option not to go for the pyramid, I won't go for the pyramid. Just something about, you know, there's always a bit of extra faff. They can be a bit tighter, but, you know, it is what it is. So I only have 4 of them here. I'm trying to think of some other good pyramids. I mean, it's the Upman 2, really. But in terms of these, for me, as I mentioned before, the Bellicoso Finos is a top rank, all-time best Cuban cigar. The Monte 2, it's Monte. You know, it's still coffee and chocolate and, you know, it's the same. More complexity, obviously, than a 4 or a 3. It's basically Monte Cristo. I would probably put the Diplomaticos just above it. It's just more interesting. There's flavours in a Diplomaticos I've not come across anywhere else. Unique. What's that? Capsicum, is that what they call it? It's kind of like a umami. There's something in there that you don't get anywhere else. And that is true of the Bellicoso, that Guinness note in this as well. And I'm a sucker for the salt in the Sancho Panza. I like that kind of salt, kind of brine thing going on in that. So I would probably go rank these in this order, which is not a knock, by the way, on the Monty four. Don't forget these are top. These are all top, kind of top five. So if you're coming fourth, that doesn't mean I don't like it. I think pretty much that may be it in terms of my what I wanted to go through. It's been quite nice to talk about cigars for an hour and a half. Let me know if you enjoyed it. And see you soon. Well, I mean, I tell you what you could do. You could tell me, like, what are your top five cigars, top 10 cigars, favourite Cubans, favourite non-Cubans, even. I will say that I think there's, on YouTube, because a lot of Americans can't get Cuban cigars, there's a very kind of concerted push to say, well, Cubans aren't the be-all and end-all and so on and so forth. I kind of disagree with that. I do think Cubans are the be-all and end-all. And I should probably defend that view a little bit. The trouble with the non-Cubans or the New World cigars, I mean, there's two things. One, a lot of the Nicaraguans go for that strength, Nick kick thing, which I have no interest in. The second problem is that Cuban cigars aren't strong. I think there's this kind of idea that Cuban cigars are strong in that sense, in that kind of hit you in the face sense. They're not. What they are is they deliver complexity, subtlety, elegance and flavor variety and notes that you just, I mean, you know, the range of different cigars here and the different flavors in each of them is remarkable, and they do it all with puro Cuban tobacco. It's like all pure Cuban tobacco. And in my experience, you know, the Nicaraguans, they kind of try to punch you in the face a bit, but they're still a bit boring, to be honest. They don't take you on that journey in the same way. The Dominicans, I mean, I've had a couple of Davidoffs and so on and so forth, but they just tend to be a bit boring. Just a bit one note, just a bit dull. That's not to say that there aren't some great New World cigars. My favourite one that I ever had was by Arturo Fuente, the Hemingway short story. In fact, the one I had was a perfecto. It was a massive thing. It wasn't short at all. It was a Hemingway perfecto. Oh, it was amazing. One of the best cigars I've ever had. So it's not that I'm kind of like, oh, you know, never smoke any New Worlds, etc. There are some great New Worlds out there. Padron, got some. I like the 1926 range. I've got some. I mean, I do find Davidoff can be a bit dull, but there's some nice Davidoff. They're always smooth and well constructed and all that sort of stuff. But the trouble is that so many non-Cubans are just a bit boring. They don't take you on the journey that so many of these do. I've never picked one up and been like, oh, you know, this is taking me through a bread and butter pudding like we were talking with this one. Or, you know, oh, this one is giving me salt caramel. I just don't get that. They're all just kind of, okay, it is what it is. Just my experience. And I have kind of experimented. The other issue I think is probably price point. Because of taxation in this country, the price difference between the Cubans and the non-Cubans is not really that great. I have a way of acquiring Cuban cigars, which means that I don't always pay those prices. I'll just say that. But, you know, I have ways and means, as we all do. But even if I was paying like the full whack on it, it's like, well, okay, you're going to spend this amount of money on cigars. Are you going to have an above average New World cigar, or you're going to get one of these? That's the real that's the real thing. And if the difference is only a few, like £10 or something like that, or even like up to £50, you're going to go for the Cubans every time. And that's just the reality of it. So the American market can kind of come up with all its marketing spin and all its lines and all its talk about construction and so on, but really, Cubans is still where it's at when it comes to cigars, at least in my view. All right, that'll do. Let me know all your favorite cigars. Let me know what you agreed with, what you disagreed with. But most importantly of all, ladies and gentlemen, get out.